Hello and welcome to Talking Theater. I'm Alex Dunneman, and I have a special episode for you today. Today I'm joined by Morgan Grau, who is playing the titular role in Hamlet at the Blevis Laboratory Theater.
Hello. Hi.
Do you mind giving a little bit of a background on yourself as an artist?
I came from a small town of Ardrossan, Alberta, which is a hamlet, technically. And I got my start actually in improvised theater was sort of where I, what really drew me into theater. I really liked the sort of playful live nature of it. And then I came to the U of A, studied drama, and then heard about the acting program, auditioned for that, and 3 years later, here I am.
Excellent, excellent. So you went in first with just the normal BA and kind of switched over?
Yeah. Nice. I actually didn't even know. I was so underinformed. I didn't even know. I didn't even do drama in my first semester. I didn't even know like there were drama classes. Yeah, I was really bad.
Well, it's funny because even myself, before coming here, I didn't know about the BFA program either. I've frankly been amazed. I've been working with a lot of the actors and the training's fantastic.
Yeah, it's an amazing program. The people who come here are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So, what drew you to this play? Hamlet's a pretty big name.
Yeah. well, actually, the director, Michael Bradley, originally asked me to play Laertes.
Okay, cool.
Right after last, was it February? Yeah, February we did Midsummer Night's Dream here for studio theater, and I played Demetrius, and after that he asked me to play Laertes. And I said, yeah. And then over the summer, he just said, I keep imagining you as Hamlet. So would you like to play Hamlet? And of course I want to play Hamlet. You know, like every young actor's sort of, not dream, but I think it's like something that you have to do if the opportunity presents itself. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, if someone asks you want to do that, it's hard to say no.
Exactly.
That's great. And so what kind of, was that sort of what sold you on doing the show here kind of thing? Like knowing Michael?
And Michael has a very specific idea of what he wants, which also attracted me to the role of Hamlet was Michael's sort of, he'd already dug his fingers in deep into this role and had, and was ready to talk about it and discuss it. And, and Michael's a director that I think he really likes having those conversations with actors. He's an actor. He's an actor himself, right?
So of course, yeah.
If I'm going to work with anyone on Hamlet, I'd like to work with a director like that. So I think there's also part of that.
Completely. I always have that problem sometimes too. I came as an actor first and then entered into directing second. So I love doing those kind of conversations too, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's useful as a director too to have had that side, knowing the acting side and knowing what the process is.
And with a show that focuses so heavily on a single character, I think that's important to have.
Yeah, big time, big time. So, of course, Shakespearean language is not quite like the language we use today, so it can be a bit difficult. So what's kind of your process of working with that, breaking that language down?
The first thing I do is, I mean, obviously look up all the words, every word, in the Oxford English Dictionary. And once I've done that, I sort of read it to an imaginary 3-year-old and try to be, and that's how I get the clarity. First is to just be super specific of like, you know, it's a Dr. Seuss, it's red fish, blue fish, you know, it's kind of stuff like that. Yeah,
that's great. I mean, and that's, you know, that's a big thing with it is that with Shakespeare, and I think it's kind of the sad thing that it's great that we teach Shakespeare, but it's also sort of sad that we teach it in a let's read it format.
Yeah, it's meant to be performed. And
exactly.
I think that's the genius of Shakespeare is not not necessarily just his plots or his characters, but like the marriage of poetry and live acting.
Yeah.
That's what, like, the poetry enhances the acting enhances the poetry, and that's.
Yeah.
That's so engaging about it.
Well, exactly, and that's what really makes it so engaging. I think that's probably why we still see Shakespeare done so often today, is because when you watch it live, you get it. Even if you don't get some of the words. I just did air quotes, realizing this is a podcast. but even if you don't necessarily understand all the words when you see it live, you do get that feeling.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. So what's your experience been like in rehearsal so far? How has the show been building for you?
it's a tough show, which I think is an understatement. the hardest part, which is honestly one of my personal shortcomings as an actor, is getting out of my head and into the moment, because this piece is so dense with not only the language but also the personal relationships are so complicated that it's hard to just like stand and say the line. It needs momentum to live, and so the hardest part for me has been finding that momentum through the whole play, because it is a roller coaster of a play.
Absolutely. So what's been your favorite part in the rehearsal hall?
My favorite part.
That's always the hard one, right? It's like, what was the best part?
And that is a tough question. I think my favorite part of like any process is the moment where we start, like the actors start getting off book. And there's that sort of week and a half before like you go into tech and Q2Q and all that, where you're off book and you can just play and you can just... connect with the other actors on stage. That's my favorite. It's the part where you get to play and you don't have to think about it. That's my favorite.
That is the best part. I mean, that's when the discoveries get made.
Exactly.
I mean, you can set all the framework you want, but once you're off book, it kind of changes everything.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
big time. Great. And okay, so Hamlet, and I think this is in general in the popular opinion, he's often framed as this character of inaction, which seems so strange.
Well, it's inaction is a very deflating term, I think. Yeah. Like it's so much more than that.
Well, he does a lot, right? Like he really does.
Well, Hamlet's, I think it's dangerous to view Hamlet through like as a play through the lens of just a tragedy.
Yeah.
Because Hamlet to me is more of a coming of age story in a way. That's that's what Hamlet's journey is. It's not that he's inactive. It's that he's dealing with he's paralyzed by his own existence, you know, like it's him working through his identity, his purpose, his everything. It's very hard to put into words in like a single sentence, but you know what I mean? Like
if it was easy, there wouldn't be a play, right?
So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think that's great because it's so, whenever I hear people say that, when they're like, oh yeah, he doesn't do anything, and I'm like, how would there be a play if he doesn't do anything?
No, I mean, absolutely.
That's the thing, right? It's like he's doing lots of things. It's that he's doing them in a way that makes it seem like he's trying to find the right moment.
Yeah, and he's constantly trying to think things through and do it right. Exactly. And he does a lot, but just not when he's thinking about it, you know? Yeah. It's like those moments of where like his emotions take over. That's when that's when stuff happens, and that's what Hamlet's kind of about in a way.
Yeah, and I think that's probably something a lot of us as human beings try to do, is we try to think through our actions.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? We're not trying to be the most impulsive. I mean, that's a Romeo. That's what that is. That's an impulsive man who just does whatever he wants. Great. And yeah, so it's very much a different role for everyone. You know, like this is one of those few roles where no matter who you see doing it, it's so different every time. So what do you feel like you kind of bring to this role?
That's such a hard question being inside of it.
But like, maybe a question to ask you in like 3 weeks.
Well, honestly, I'd say my shortcomings as an actor are kind of my greatest weapon in this role, because I'm someone who's always in their head trying to like think things through, and this is a play where I get to do that, you know?
Right.
I get to that's the right choice for once. And
yeah, finally, right?
But I think that like that tension between emotion and restriction, like holding back, thinking through, and feel it's that's something that I grapple with a lot on stage. That I just that's a very real fight for me. So I think that's
right.
Yeah, I guess that's something I'd bring.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. I mean that's what will make it interesting too, right?
It's, I hope so.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Time will tell. I had the same conversation with Michael last week. He's like, I hope people will like it. That's all we can ever hope for as theater practitioners. Or maybe they hate it, and that's even better sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's like, oh, they want to talk about it. So what have been some of the challenges you've faced doing this production? Has there been stuff that, you know, surprised you? Or
I honestly, going into it, I thought like, to be or not to be would be the hardest part, because it is such a like it's such a lofty thing, and there's so many expectations, you know, like everyone knows the speech,
of course,
But that ended up being one of the easier parts to figure out. It's the hardest part, I think, is finding the it's staying connected to the audience in such when Hamlet's such a cerebral person,
right?
And it's easy to pull inside your head and sort of shut down and lock everyone else out.
Yeah,
and to bring those arguments to an open, emotionally available place is really difficult. Yeah,
it's one of the few plays really that deals with like higher cerebral kind of thinking, because we've lost in the theater. I mean, for better or for worse, I'm not sure. We've lost the kind of the soliloquy, right? The these are my inside thoughts. The novel kind of takes that over at these points. So it's a rare kind of opportunity to play that sort of.
Well, and I think that a trap that often gets fallen into is that everything has to be an emotionally driven.
Yes.
like to be or not to be is. I don't think it's about like Hamlet's internal. It's not. It's less about like, oh, I want to. Should I kill myself?
Right.
It's more about him explaining his thought process to the audience and bringing them on that journey. And that's why it is such a striking piece of literature.
Yeah.
Let alone a thing for someone to act, but like just as words on a page, it's a very compelling argument, because it is an argument.
And that's the thing. And I mean, the minute you start treating it as this glorious passage of super importance, is the minute it stops being dramatic, right? The minute you see someone on stage come in, they're like, to be, and you're like, oh boy, here we go, right? It's like,
well, Hamlet is a philosopher, but he's also like an 18-year-old kid trying to figure his shit out, you know? Like, he's this is him just trying to figure out his life. And there's nothing from his perspective lofty about that, you know? Like, I often hear that Hamlet is Shakespeare as a genius writing about a genius,
right?
But Hamlet's not a genius, you know? He's just a he's just a kid. He's just an angsty kid trying to figure out his life out.
Yeah. So you guys are taking it from a younger perspective kind of thing?
We've sort of cast him as an 18-year-old.
Nice.
Which I think fits the role.
Yeah.
You know, I get the argument for like a 30-year-old Hamlet, but I think that like
I mean, it you can choose whatever at this point.
Absolutely. But I really dig the sort of younger Hamlet.
Well, I think the younger Hamlet does make more sense in terms of the action of the play, and in terms of his, you know, being afraid to do certain things. It's that he's young. It's like I'm not entirely sure how to, if he was older, maybe he'd have he'd have people that he could just hire to do things or you know, stuff like that, right?
And he's self-conscious too, right? Like that's why he deals with, especially at the beginning of the play, you see him deal with it with humor and wit and sarcasm. That's how he deals with his emotions. And so by the end of the play, we see him when Horatio says, like, if you have a bad feeling about this, like, you should act on that. And he says, no, like, there's a special providence in the fall of a sparrow. What's going to come is going to come. Yeah. All we can do is be ready for it, you know? And that's...
Exactly. Oh, I've heard that line said to me. So I played Horatio back in the day, too. Yeah. I've heard that so many times. Well, it's great. Well, and I've heard Michael's done kind of a change with Horatio in this one, too.
Yeah.
And in general, the adaptation, it's seven actors, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And so Horatio's got more of kind of an involved role with him.
Well, it's Horatio's story, right? Like, I think what Michael's really highlighting with this adaptation is that Horatio, this production is Horatio's production of Hamlet's story that he has observed. So while the rest of us are sort of actors portraying the characters, Horatio is just Horatio telling his story.
So that's pretty cool. I think that's a very kind of fresh and interesting sort of perspective on it, which I'm sure is going to be very enjoyable. Well, I think that about comes down to it. It's been great chatting with you, Morgan.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, no problem. You can check out Hamlet at the Blevis Laboratory Theater October 15th to the 16th. There will be two evening shows starting at 7:30 p.m., and there will be a matinee on the Sunday at 2 p.m. You can sign up on the bulletin board next to the Department of Drama office in the Fine Arts Building here on the campus of the University of Alberta. Until next time, I've been Alex Donovan. Goodbye.